Today is the Feast of Trumpets. It's Yahweh's appointed time for an acclamation of joy. And it is Yahweh's appointed time for a battle cry. But it depends on which side of the fence you're on. For some, the Day of Trumpets will be just that, a day of joy, right? Because we can see Yahweh working. We can see evidence of our faith and the praise that we've given in believing in Him and His Son. But it will be a day of terror for those who have disregarded His word and have not come into obedience to it, to His word. The religion of Judaism refers to the first day of the seventh month, this day, as Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year. The phrase Rosh Hashanah is found in Scripture, but it is not found in reference to the Feast of Trumpets. I had a colleague came up to me the other day, and because he knows that we go by the feast days, and he asked me if I was celebrating the new year, and I immediately said yes, and I thought, wait a minute, no, it's not the new year. We're celebrating trumpets, not the new year. And he kind of looked at me strangely. I didn't go on explaining to him what it was all about. But in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2, speaking of where the term Rosh Hashanah is found, Exodus 12 and verse 2 says, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Okay, so what is that all about? What day is the scripture talking about? Well, if you put in the Hebrew words in key places, this is how it reads. "This Hakadesh shall be your Rosh Kodeshim. It shall be the Rosh on Kadeshi Hashanah to you." Okay, if you listen closely, you would have heard the words Rosh and Hashanah. That there's a couple words in between. But it means this new moon, this HaKadesh, shall be your beginning of new moons, Rosh Kodeshim. It shall be the first, or the head, new moon of the year to you, the Roshon Kodeshi HaShanah. In verse 3, of that same chapter, we read, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, of this moon, this new moon, every man shall take for himself a lamb." That doesn't sound like trumpets. "Shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, without unleavened bread, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with the belts on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover." Okay? This is the feast that has reference to Rosh Hashanah. Why then does Judaism proclaim that the Feast of Trumpets is the head of the year? Could it be that we're missing something? Perhaps it's in reference to of several verses in Exodus 23. Exodus 23, starting at verse 14. It begins, "Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field. And the feast of ingathering at the end of the year." Ah, okay. It goes on, says, "When you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field." Wow, at the end of the year. Wow, interesting. So if we read that the beginning of the year is in the month of Abib, that must also be the end of the year, right? Well, perhaps that's what the Jews were thinking. But I did a little research on the words in that phrase. And also discovered that the same description of that we, the same commandment to meet three times of the year, is referenced in two other places, Exodus 34, starting at verse 18, and also in Deuteronomy 16, starting at verse 1. However, there is no mention in these two other sections of this time being in the end or the beginning of the year. They just don't appear in these other places where Yahweh has commanded us to meet three times of the year. The key, I think, to understanding what is going on here rests in the word "end," in the phrase "end of the year" in verse 16 from Exodus 23. It is the Hebrew word yatzah, a word with a myriad of meanings, only a few of which suggest the meaning "end." I'll spare you the time reading through the huge list of definitions or synonyms or ways that that word can be used, because what seems clear in reading that is that it points to something significant, something really important, like the last harvest of the year. In that sense, it would be the end of the work year. If you're in the field of agriculture, if you grow things of the land, that would be the end of your year. It would be the last harvest of that year. But it seems to me that shouting Happy New Year and blowing trumpets to celebrate a new year on the Day of Trumpets is a bit presumptuous. Frankly, I think it demeans the day that Yahweh established as the beginning of the new year, the new moon that appears when the first fruits of the barley harvest are just about ready to be cut for the wave sheaf offering to Yahweh. This is, of course, sheaf wave offering, is a reference to our first fruit, Yahshua the Messiah. That may be another reason that those of Judaism don't celebrate the new year in the month of Abib. But who knows? So the scriptural head of the year, the Roshon Kadashim Hashanah, or its shortened form, Rosh Hashanah, is the new moon in the first month of the year called Abib, not the Feast of Trumpets. If you would turn to the book of Leviticus 23, beginning at verse 23, we read, "Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. In Numbers 29, beginning at verse 1, Scripture reiterates the Feast of Trumpets, adding the special offerings made on that day. The Hebrew words and meanings there are the same as those used in the book of Exodus. Let's read that. Numbers 29, beginning at verse 1. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For you, it is a day of blowing the trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to Yahweh, one young bull, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year without blemish. Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also one kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offerings, burnt offering with its grain offering for the new moon, the regular burnt offering with its grain offering, and their drink offerings according to their ordinance as a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to Yahweh. Now let's go back to Leviticus 23 and verse 23. Leviticus 23 and verse 23. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel. And that in Hebrew is B'nai Yisrael. From the Hebrew root ben, or son, and literally, builders of Israel. And Yisrael, spelled Yod Sin Resh Aleph Lamed, means he will rule with the power of El. And that comes from the Hebrew word Sarah, which means power, and El, which means mighty one. And continuing the verse, saying, In the seventh, which is the Hebrew word Shava, which means sacred or full, month, which is the word Chadesh, not Kodesh or Kadosh. Those words mean something different. On the first day, and that word is Ikad, which means one, or first, or united. Of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, which is Shabbat, a Sabbatism, or a special holiday. A memorial of blowing of trumpets. And that phrase there is just one word, truah, which means an alarm, or an acclamation of joy, a loud noise, quote, splitting of the ears. interestingly, if no mention is made of a shofar or a trumpet, however. It doesn't say trumpet or shofar in that verse. Literally, it's the splitting of the ears, the blowing. But if you've ever blown a ram's horn, you know that it curves right into your ear. So when they blow the ram's horn, if you blow loud enough, it can literally keep your ears ringing, or hence the splitting of the ears. And continuing on in the verse, a holy, which is the word kodesh, and it means holy, sacred, or set apart, convocation, which is the Hebrew word mikra, or gathering of ones called out. Also, it means a rehearsal. Verse 25, you shall do no customary work, abadah, which means obligatory service, on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire. And the word fire is ishe, a burnt offering or any sacrifice to Yahweh. So here are those verses, those same verses, according to the meanings in Hebrew, Leviticus 23:23. Yahweh is speaking through Moses to the builders who will rule with the power of the Almighty. On the seventh new moon, memorialize joy and alarm in a sacred rehearsal. Let me repeat this. Yahweh is speaking through Moses to the builders who will rule with the power of the Almighty on the seventh new moon, memorialize joy and alarm in a sacred rehearsal. A sacred rehearsal. A sacred acting out of something that is to come. A rehearsal for what? Today, this day, is the rehearsal for that day when our rehearsing will culminate in the performance of our life. We're rehearsing. That's the day we are acting for real. However, we do know from Scripture that this day will be both joyous and alarming, and it will involve or revolve around people who have been practicing for that day when they will be responsible to rule under the precepts, laws, and ordinances of Yahweh. Who are those builders, those sons of Israel? And 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 18, just one small verse, it says, "So Solomon's builders and others prepared timber and stones to build the temple. The temple of Yahweh was built, destroyed, it was destroyed, and it was rebuilt by Israel. Building the physical temple of Yahweh was the rehearsal for those in the latter days building the kingdom of Yahweh. And that day to come, the one in the future, those who believe and obey are the very building blocks, the living stones of the temple of Yahweh." First Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, says, "And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men," he's speaking of Yahshua, "but is choice and precious in the sight of Elohim, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house," or temple, "for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Elohim through Yahshua the Messiah. For this is contained in Scripture." This is still Peter writing. "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." Continuing on, "Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed." Now, those who believe and obey the word, those who believe in and obey the law of Yahweh, are in the process of becoming, of being built up to be the house of Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah, who is the cornerstone, the rock upon which we stand. If you would go to the book of Psalms and chapter 118, Psalm 118, beginning at verse 24. We read, "This is the day which Yahweh has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Yahweh, do save, we beseech you. O Yahweh, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of Yahweh. Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. We have blessed you from the house," which means the temple of Yahweh. Here we have that one side of the Feast of Trumpets being glad the joy. This is the day that Yahweh has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you would turn to the book of Luke, chapter 13 and verse 35. Luke 13:35. This is Yahshua speaking to the Pharisees. He says, "See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh.'" Yahshua told the people of Judah what will happen to them in the book of Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Matthew 21, verse 42 begins, "Yahshua said to them, 'Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was Yahweh's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Elohim will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it.'" He is saying, and he's warning them of destruction, and that the blessing will go to those who believe in Yahweh and obey Yahweh, rather than those who make up their own rules and live by them. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and verse 25, we have here Yahshua speaking to John, saying, this is Revelation 2, 25, "But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end," what are his works? Did he not obey with everything that he did the law of Yahweh, the law of his father? Did he not do everything that Yahweh told him to do? "He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." Now, then he describes the power that will be given. "He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father." He's speaking of the power that he has. He has not used that power to destroy the nations, but I recall in the book of Revelation that when he does come, he will be wearing a garment that is in English written, "dipped in blood." And that word in Hebrew, that word in Greek is baptismo. He will be wearing a garment that has been baptized, held under the water, baptized in blood. That is a scary image, one which he's speaking of in this verse, that he will have the power to dash the nations to pieces. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16 says, "For the Messiah himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Elohim, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first." This seems to me to be that day of trumpets. Those who are righteous in this life will be raised from their graves. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 9 says, "Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Okay, so we've read about rejoicing on the day of trumpets, and now we're reading about the destruction that will come to those who are without the law. When he says sinners, who does that refer to, and what is sin? Well, we know in Scripture that sin is lawlessness. It's those who are not willing to abide in the law of Yahweh. is those who are outside of the law of Yahweh, who are not obedient to it. The word has been spoken. Yahweh gave the law to the Israelites. He spoke to them of the coming of the Messiah. And he had them rehearse each step of the plan of salvation. Step one, the blood of the Lamb covering us and protecting us from eternal death. This is Passover. And note that Passover is not a high Sabbath. It is a memorial day. But the first and last days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread are high Sabbaths. Step two, the partaking of unleavened bread. Leaving the comforts, which means leaving the comforts and abominations of the world to take on a holy way of living. This is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Azumos, and in Greek, the Feast of Uncorruptedness. Within this feast is the offering of the first fruits from the ground to heaven and back again during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's called the Sheaf Wave Offering, and it's portraying the ascension and descension of the Messiah after his resurrection. Step three, the offering of the two leavened loaves at the Feast of Weeks, the day upon which Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, and in the New Testament, it's called Pentecost, in which the disciples of Yahshua received the Holy Spirit. These first rehearsals have been fulfilled by Yahshua. Yet, we observe them today to honor Yahweh's plan of salvation. Step four in Yahweh's plan of salvation. By blowing the trumpets on the first day of the scriptural seventh month, we are rehearsing for the day of Yahweh and the resurrection of the righteous, when the final trump shall sound, bringing joy to those in obedience and horror to those living outside of the law of Yahweh, the Feast of Trumpets. Step five, soon we shall rehearse the tribulation when our souls will be afflicted. This is called the Day of Atonement. Number six, after that, we will rehearse the gathering of nations to Jerusalem, when Satan will be bound in the pit, and those raised in the first resurrection will work in the 1,000-year reign of Yahshua, called the Feast of Tabernacles. At the end of this time, the second resurrection will occur, and Satan will be loosed for a while. And those who did not have the opportunity to hear the word before they died will hear the truth. Those who reject it will be reserved for the last great day. Step seven, when we will rehearse the day when all evil shall be put away in the lake of fire and eternity will finally begin for us. And this picture is the last great day. And you think about it, finally begin, it sounds a little bit oppositional, finally begin. But it is an end, and it also is a beginning, the new heaven and the new earth. This is Yahweh's plan of salvation. Are you one of those builders of the kingdom of Yahweh? One of those who will rule with the power of Elohim? Are you one of the children of Israel, carrying the name of Yahweh, having the law written on your heart and in your mind? Well then, blessings to you. If not, then may Yahweh in his long suffering and mercy reach out to you and do whatever it takes to bring you to him for his name's sake. In Yahshua's mighty and loving name, hallelujah.